I want to ask a question this morning, and it's primarily directed at the moms and the women who are here today, but not exclusively, because the question is really applicable all across the board to individuals in all kinds of places and stations in life. So just because you're not a woman and just because you're not a mom this morning doesn't mean there might not be some way to apply this question to your life, because I'm sure there will be. But I want to ask it primarily directed at the moms and the wives who are here this morning, and that is to ask you the question, have you ever felt invisible? Have you ever felt unnoticed? Have you ever felt like the people that you live with and the people that you work with and serve on a daily basis really fail to see who you are and often what you do? Do you ever feel unappreciated for the work and the efforts and the sacrifices you make for the people who are in your life? If you have ever felt invisible, if you've ever felt unnoticed, if you've ever felt unappreciated, then pay attention to the next few moments this morning. Hopefully, by the time we're through, I will have said something that will bless you and encourage you. It's going to be a little different sermon this morning. I'm going to do something that I don't normally do, so stepping a little bit out of how I would normally preach a sermon. So for those of you who are here Sunday after Sunday, please bear with me this morning. You know this is not something that I would often do, but I want to read an excerpt from a novel a little bit more than I would normally do on a Sunday morning service. In fact, I want to read three sections from a novel that is written by Nicole Johnson, and the name of the novel is The Invisible Woman. And as we make our way through the next 20 to 25 minutes or so, stay with me, and I think by the time we get to the end of this sermon, I'll be able to share some biblical principle with you that I think will bless you and help you if you've ever felt invisible or unnoticed or unappreciated. Now, if you've never experienced that, if you've never felt unappreciated or unnoticed or invisible, then I may not have much to say to you this morning. But I'm guessing, no matter who you are, mother, father, grandparent, son, daughter, employee, employer, church leader, Bible school teacher, servant of Christ, surely there has been a moment in your life where you felt unnoticed, where you did something that no one recognized what you did, and no one seemed to appreciate what you did. So if you fall into that category, listen closely to the next few moments of what I'm going to be sharing with you. This novel, The Invisible Woman, is about a wife and a mother who is struggling to come to grips with her role in life. She's somewhat frustrated. She doesn't have a sense of who she is and where she fits and how she should do what she feels that she's been called to do as a Christian mom. And her name is Charlotte. The first part from the novel, The Invisible Woman, that I want to read to you goes like this. It started to happen gradually. One day I was walking my son Jake to school. I was holding his hand and we were about to cross the street when the crossing guard said to him, "Who is that with you, young fella?"
"Nobody," he shrugged.
"Nobody?" The crossing guard and I laughed. My son is only 5, but as we crossed the street, I thought, "Oh my goodness, nobody?" And then on another occasion, I would walk into a room and no one would notice. I would say something to my family like, "Turn the TV down, please," and nothing would happen. Nobody would get up or even make a move for the remote. I would stand there for a minute and then I would say again a little louder, "Would someone turn the TV down?" Nothing. And then just the other night, my husband and I were out at a party. We'd been there for about 3 hours and I was ready to leave. I noticed he was talking to a friend from work, so I walked over. And when there was a break in the conversation, I whispered, "I'm ready to go when you are." He looked at me, but then just kept right on talking to his friend. That's when I started to put all the pieces together. I don't think he can see me. I don't think anyone can see me. I'm invisible. It all began to make sense. The blank stares, the lack of response, the way one of the kids walks into the room while I'm on the phone and asks to be taken to the store. Inside, I'm thinking, "Can't you see I'm on the phone?" Obviously not. No one can see if I'm on the phone or cooking or sweeping the floor or even standing on my head in the corner, because no one can see me at all. I'm invisible. Some days I'm only a pair of hands, nothing more. Can you fix this? Can you tie this? Can you open this? Some days I'm not even a pair of hands. I'm not even a human being. I'm a clock to ask, "What time is it?" I'm a satellite guide to answer, "What number is the Disney Channel?" I'm a car to order right around 5:30. I'm a backpack to take out a crying child. I added that one. That's not in her book. I was certain that these were the hands that once held books and the eyes that studied history and the mind that graduated summa cum laude. But now they had disappeared into the peanut butter, never to be seen again. She's going, she's going, she's gone. I'm wondering, do any of the moms here this morning relate to this in any way or any shape or fashion? Through the fictional mom of Charlotte, has Nicole Johnson struck a chord that resonates with any of you? Have you ever felt invisible to your children, to your husband? Have you ever felt completely unnoticed or unappreciated? What do you do when you feel invisible? Do you demand to be seen? Do you jump up and down on the couch? Do you yell, "Hey, I'm talking to you"? What do? When you feel invisible. I remember hearing a few years ago about a mom who got fed up with her family and she decided to go on strike. Any of you remember reading about this or hearing about this? I don't know how that worked. I never heard how it worked out, whether it changed anything or ended well or not, but it garnered quite a bit of attention there when she decided to go on strike because of the way her family was treating her. What do you do when you feel invisible and unappreciated? Do you give up? Do you quit? Do you throw in the towel, so to speak? Do you take the position that, "Well, since no one else around here cares, I'm not going to care either"? Since nobody else around here does anything, I'm not going to do anything either. What do you do when you're invisible and feel unappreciated? Second excerpt from the book. One night, a group of us were having dinner, celebrating the return of a friend from England. My friend, Janice, had just gotten back from a fabulous trip, and she was going on and on about the hotel she stayed in and all the sights she'd seen. I was sitting there looking around at the others, all put together so well, it was hard not to compare and feel sorry for myself as I looked down at my out-of-style dress. It was the only thing I could find that was clean. My unwashed hair was pulled up in a banana clip, and I was afraid I could actually smell peanut butter in it. I was feeling pretty pathetic when Janice turned to me with a beautifully wrapped package and said, "I bought this for you." It was a book on the great cathedrals of Europe. I wasn't exactly sure why she'd given it to me until I read her inscription. "To Charlotte, with admiration for the greatness of what you are building when no one sees." In the days ahead, I would read, no, devour the book, and I would discover what would become for me three life-changing truths after which I could pattern my work as a mom. First, the builders of the great cathedrals gave their whole lives for a work they would never see finished. Second, they made great sacrifices and expected no credit. And third, the passion of their building was fueled by their faith that the eyes of God saw everything they were doing. A legendary story in the book my friend gave me told of a rich man who came to visit one of the great cathedrals while it was being built. He saw a workman carving a tiny bird on the inside of a beam. He was puzzled and asked the man, "Why are you spending so much time carving that bird into a beam that will be covered by the roof? No one will ever see it." The workman replied, "God will see it." I closed the book and felt the missing piece fall into place. It was almost as if I heard God whispering to me, "I see you, Charlotte. I see the sacrifices you make every day, even when no one around you does. No act of kindness you've done, no sequin you've sewn, no cupcake you've baked is too small for me to notice and smile over. As a mom, you are building a great cathedral. You just can't see right now what it will become." Isn't that good? Isn't that powerful? To the moms who are here this morning and to others of you as well, we all need to remember something a woman by the name of Hagar learned many years ago. If you want to open to Genesis 16:13 for just real quick, let me make this biblical point to you. You remember Hagar, don't you? Those of you who are familiar with the Old Testament story, Hagar was the maid of Abraham's wife, Sarah. And God, of course, had promised Abraham and Sarah that he was going to give them a child. And from that one child, he was going to raise up a nation of people. The problem was, time wore on, and Abraham and Sarah still didn't have any children. So Sarah kind of took matters into her own hands. She decided she would give Hagar to her husband Abraham, and she would be kind of a surrogate mother. Now, catch this. Hagar didn't pursue this. This was Sarah's doing. Sarah decided to give her maid to her husband. We don't know if Hagar wanted to do that. There's no indication in the scripture that Hagar desired Abraham. There's no indication in this story at all that Hagar wanted to sleep with Abraham and bear a child by Abraham, but she was a servant. And so she really didn't have a say in what was going on. All she could do was follow the orders of her master. And her master said, I want you to marry my husband and sleep with him and bear a child for me. Well, Hagar follows the rules. She does what her master tells her to do. She has sex with Abraham. She gets pregnant. And then suddenly things change. Sarah, whose idea all of this was, begins to mistreat Hagar. Begins to talk badly about her, begins to mistreat her, so much so that at some point Hagar decides, I've got to get out of here. I suspect Hagar was feeling pretty unappreciated. She didn't seduce Abraham. Wasn't her idea to marry Abraham. Wasn't her idea to bear that man a child. This was all Sarah's doing. Now Hagar's in kind of a no-win situation. She's being mistreated. She feels unappreciated for her sacrifice, for what she's done for her master. And it finally reaches a point, she says, I've got to get out of here. And so she runs away. She ends up in the desert, all by herself. Pretty depressing place to be. But there in the desert, she meets the living God. And in verse 13, she gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her, you are the God who sees me. For she said, I have now seen the one who sees me. Up until that point, you kind of get the impression Hagar felt like she was invisible. She was just a pawn in the game that Sarah was playing. She didn't really count. Her feelings didn't really matter. And so she feels used. She feels somewhat maybe abused even. She feels completely unappreciated for the sacrifices that she has made on behalf of Abraham and Sarah. But something changes all of that. And what changes that is she has an encounter with the living God. And she learns something in that encounter. She learns that whether Abraham and Sarah appreciate her or not, there is a God who sees her. There is a God who appreciates her. There is a God who blesses her. What flows out of this ancient story in the book of Genesis and is continued to be emphasized in other ways throughout Scripture is this. Even when no one sees what you're doing, even when no one notices the sacrifices we've made, even when no one seems to appreciate the work and the effort that we've put into something, there is one who sees. The same living God who witnessed the trials and the tribulations and the sacrifices and the work of Hagar sees and knows the sacrifices and the work and the effort that you make on behalf of your family or your job or your church. We serve a living God who sees and knows everything we do. One final reading from the book, The Invisible Woman. Coming to a new understanding of her role as a mother, Charlotte concludes, at times, my invisibility feels like an affliction, but it's not a disease that is erasing my life. It is the cure for the disease of my own self-centeredness. It is the antidote to my strong, stubborn pride. I keep the right perspective when I see myself as a great builder. As one of the people who show up at a job that they will never see finished, to work on something that their name will never be on. The writer of the book on the great cathedrals of Europe went so far as to say that no cathedrals could ever be built in our lifetime because there are so few people willing to sacrifice to that degree. When I really think about it, I don't want my son to tell the friend he's bringing home from college for Thanksgiving, "My mom gets up at 4 in the morning and bakes homemade pies, and then she hand bastes the turkey for 3 hours and presses all the linens for the table." That would mean I'd built a shrine or a monument to myself. I just want him to want to come home. And then if there's anything more to say to his friend, to simply add, "You're going to love my mom." As mothers, we are building great cathedrals. We cannot be seen if we're doing it right. And one day, it's very possible that the world will marvel not only at what we have built, but at the beauty that has been added to the world by the sacrifices of invisible women. Isn't that a great line? The sacrifices of invisible women. Many a child has been blessed and gone on to add beauty to the world because of the sacrifices of an invisible mom. To the women and the moms who are here this morning, I know Mother's Day is sometimes painful for you in ways that others of us cannot understand. And there are many reasons for that discomfort, and I won't try to go into any of them. If this is not a day that you look forward to, if this is not a day that you find easy to celebrate, then all I can say is I try to appreciate that and understand that. It may even be that there are some women, some moms here today who didn't even want to come today because you never know what you're going to get. You never know how you're going to be made to feel. Maybe you're going to leave feeling inadequate. And so sometimes you don't even want to show up on Mother's Day. I appreciate you coming. If you got up this morning with any of those thoughts, I appreciate you pushing through the pain and coming to this assembly today. And I hope in some small way something is being shared with you that blesses you. What I would like to say to the women and the moms here, not that this doesn't apply to the fathers or others of us, because this does in many ways apply to all of us, but especially to the moms and the wives who are here today, when you feel invisible, when you feel unnoticed, when you feel unappreciated, keep building. Keep pouring out your life and sacrifice to those that God has placed in your life, because even when others don't see you, even when others don't notice what you've done, even when others don't appreciate you the way that they should, there is one who sees and appreciates and blesses. And that is the living God that we serve and know today. No one likes to feel invisible. No one likes to feel unnoticed or unappreciated. That applies not just to moms, but it applies to dads. It applies to people with jobs. It applies to people who provide jobs to others. It applies to church leaders. It applies to preachers, to elders, to servants in the kingdom. No one likes to feel invisible. No one likes to feel like nobody ever notices what they do. No one likes to feel unappreciated or taken advantage of. Now, knowing that as we do, that ought to make all of us even more willing to say to those who have sacrificed on our behalf or who've done something that has blessed us in some way, to say, thank you. To acknowledge in some way the sacrifice or the effort or the work that someone has rendered on our behalf, whether that person is a parent, a mom, a father, a grandparent, a friend, a worker, a co-worker, whatever context you want to put it in, when someone has done something to bless you, when someone has done a good thing, done something for the betterment of others or for the betterment of the kingdom, it is good and right to say, thank you. To acknowledge others for their work. But when that doesn't happen, when you pour out your life for little children in a Bible class, or you pour out your working years for a boss who doesn't seem to appreciate anything you've ever done, when you sacrifice for a husband who never seems to notice anything you do, there is one who notices. And really, at the end of the day, that's really all that matters. Don't do what you do for a boss or for a parent or for a spouse or a child or whatever context you want to place it in. Don't do what you do just to be honored or recognized by someone else. If it comes, great. Enjoy it. Be blessed by it. But let us not be people who do what we do only to get something in return from someone else, but rather let us willingly pour out our lives in service, knowing that the only one who really cares sees it, and he never misses a thing we do. And at the right time, in the right way, not even a cup of cold water given in his name, Scripture says, will go unnoticed and unrewarded. So whatever you're doing for others, whether it's in the context of a marriage or a family or a work or a church family, whatever you do for others, keep building, keep working, keep serving, keep pouring yourself out for the sake of others, knowing with this assurance that the living God, the one who came and took upon himself our very flesh and went to the cross to die for us, to give us the promise of eternal life in the new heavens and the new earth, live with the assurance that that God, who knows the very hairs on your head in number, sees everything you do. And he'll bless you accordingly at the appropriate time. Now you know why I instructed you to say to your neighbor, my God sees you. There's not an individual here that is not known and loved deeply by God. So much so he died that you and I might be made right with him. Keep building. Keep working. Keep pouring out your life in such a way that he is honored. And one day, he'll make it right, even if nobody else does. Amen. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and give you peace this very day.